the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Ursula, so this morning I was driving and I heard the voice of someone that reminds me of Barry White.
Oh, that's a nice voice.
That's a nice voice. You know who's got that voice?
Who?
Long Live Mark. Hey, Long Live Mark got that deep voice.
He was part of our morning meeting. Yes, he was. I gave him a ride.
Does anybody ever talk about that? Like,
hey. He has a good voice.
He's got a good voice. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning. We have a very packed show for you. Coming up after Heather's newscast at 9:30, we're going to give you some of the details that we're just learning about right now regarding the firing of Washington's equity director. Some of the things are shocking, I gotta say. We also, as always, invite you to join us on our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
All right, let's get to it. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Way, Scar 40, Susu in Auburn.
About 800 Amazon employees in Seattle are planning to walk off the job this afternoon, briefly, to protest the company's return to the office mandate. Close to 900 additional workers from offices around the world will also be joining in today's walkout. In addition to protesting about not being able to work from home, they're also demanding more action from Amazon to save the planet. Amazon recently told investors it is committed to its climate goals, including putting 100,000 electric delivery vans on the road by 2030. And as far as this lunchtime protest, the company says it respects their employees' rights to express their opinions.
Yeah, I'm laughing. I'm laughing about this. And here's why I'm laughing. I know it's not that I'm insensitive, because I'm not insensitive. But when I see things come across my desk and this highlighted, the walkout is a joint effort, Ursula, between two groups. I want to talk about these two groups. Now, the one group, the Amazon Employees for Climate Justice. You know what? That's a group I don't really have much to say about, because I do believe that we have a lot to do with that. I love what they are doing. Please continue doing it. I'm all good for that group. This next group, listen to this, y'all. Amazon's Remote Advocacy Community Leaders. Wait, what? You mean, what? What? This is the most first world problems in the world. And this is why people like Ursula get so bent out of shape about this topic. Now, another thing, there's 1,700 that are supposed to walk out. Of the 1,700, 800 of them are around the world. So I have questions.
Actually, I'm close to 900.
I have questions. First question is, when you get up and walk out, where are you going? Two, is your face covered? Three, are you carrying a sign? You know what?
If you're one of those workers, we want to hear from you. Text us, 888-973-5476.
Come on the show!
888-973-CHIRO, or exactly.
Come on the show!
Maybe we're missing something. And I started thinking about this, and maybe it's my generation of parents who are to blame for this. And okay. I say that because I'm starting to wonder, is this a result of everyone getting a participation trophy?
Could be. Could be.
Okay, the statement by the remote advocacy group. Okay, I just was looking at this. It says, employees need a say in decisions that affect our lives, such as the return to work mandate and how our work is being used to accelerate the climate crisis. I love how they combine the two. Okay, just want to remind you, though, you are only required right now to work in the office 3 days a week.
Right.
Okay, you still have it pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about the Amazon warehouse workers, who, in my opinion, would have every reason to go out. I'd be, walking out, demanding more, given what we heard. But a lot of these employees that we're talking about are not facing those conditions, okay? So do they need to be reminded that Amazon has already laid off 27,000 employees just in the past year?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, the CEO, Andy Jassy, made it clear. He thinks it's better for people to work collaboratively in the office, right? So if you don't agree with that, and if your lunchtime protest today doesn't change his mind, I'm thinking that you've got options.
You definitely got options. And before we get off this topic, because I know that there's someone listening that thinks that I'm very insensitive. There's someone that is going to walk out on lunch. I'm going to walk out on lunchtime. And you're thinking I'm insensitive. Please come on to the show and let's talk about it. Let's talk about the insensitivity that I need to get better with.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, y'all. I am forever going to be on the side of I'm laughing at you if you're putting together a remote advocacy community leaders. What? Next thing you're going to do is bring Al Sharpton in and have him come and be a part of this and make it really... Okay, I'm done.
Okay. You stepped over bringing Al Sharpton in. Okay, we'll move on.
All right.
A sprawling homeless encampment has been a source of tension and anger in Burien for months now. And there was a meeting last night, a special meeting. It was packed, and residents were able to vent to the city council.
My kids will not take my grandkids to the library. They won't walk up and down the city streets. I have had it. Every one of you guys has destroyed my city. Every one of you has. 6 weeks ago, I had it after I saw people using the parking strips as a toilet, drug dealings, and even somebody self-gratifying himself on the corner in front of the library.
But King 5 News reports there were some who also spoke against the plans or any plans to sweep this homeless camp, which is just a block away from City Hall.
I'm a social worker. I work with families looking for housing. There is nowhere for them to go. Leasing the property is a disingenuous move. Any sweeps that come of it are illegal and inhumane, a violation of human and civil rights as spelled out by federal law.
Okay, so there were some proposals made last night, but none of them passed. So nothing happened after this special meeting, which just went on for hours. The city of Burien has given notice to the campers now that their tents are going to be removed by tomorrow night. But King County has already said that the sheriff's office, which provides police services to Burien, will not be helping with the removal.
This is my old stomping grounds. I used to do a lot of door-to-door sales right there downtown Burien, right there off of 152nd and 6th Avenue. I know exactly where that is. I saw where the encampment is. It is right there on the corner right there, Ursula. And then right across the street are some condos, right? And look, the fact that we are still saying the same thing, which is something I'm going to piggyback off what you said earlier. We are saying the same thing. We don't have places for them to go. What? What do you mean we don't have places for them to go? Why are we still saying the same thing while people are continuing to push the can down the road? Now, I think what's starting to happen is this, Ursula. I think there are a lot of people, the compassion, the empathy, right? For those that are living in these conditions, the patience that has occurred, right? You can both want those folks that are unhoused to go find housing and get into housing. You can want that for them while at the same time be frustrated at the inaction and at the no decisions that continue to happen. I was looking at that those condos right there, and I was thinking to myself, I said, self, if I go to work every single day, I got to deal with Chef and Ursula every single day, right? And
thanks.
Then, you're welcome. And then I go home, and every month I got to pay $200 to $2,500 a month, every month. And my view, when I have my hot cup of Joe, is downstairs looking down at the encampment. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, no. But I'm going to say the cry part out loud. Not many people want that situation, especially if they have kids. And if there is a politician right now, if there is a politician right now that is living in those condos or are living in a situation where they have an encampment that's right there in front of their place, come on the show and let's talk about it, because I don't think it exists.
Yes. And you mentioned kicking the can down the road. All of that needs to stop. This is a prime example of feckless leadership. Mm-hmm. The finger pointing has to stop. So King County is refusing to help because it says it doesn't have the authority to remove the camp. Again, why? Mm-hmm. Because they're allegedly aren't enough places for them to move the people living there. That is a terrible excuse anymore. How long have we been talking about this? So do you know that the city of Burien has already leased this particular property to an animal shelter starting tomorrow? So they've told them, you've got to move by tomorrow. But there's no place for them to go, and who's going to remove them? So, and this is in a recent letter, The King County Executive's General Counsel sent a letter to the manager, the city manager, and the city council in Burien, accusing them of using a lease scheme to evict unhoused people living on the city lot, and then saying, well, because of that, I mean, the King County Sheriff's Office is not and cannot participate in removing the homeless from this location. Now, can I just point out again, do we not have a King County Regional Homelessness Authority?
Facts.
Granted, it's in a bit of disarray right now.
For sure.
But between that authority and the county itself, there's been plenty of money allotted to find alternative housing.
Yes.
I mean, haven't we been buying up abandoned hotels or old hotels? And again, the fact that we're using that as an excuse, it needs to be, as we say, hair on fire urgency to find additional housing.
Mm-hmm. Well, every other city in the region has been able to figure out how to move homeless people, right?
Yes.
Except Burien. And this is one encampment. And I want to go back to something that you said about what they're doing with this property. So first of all, the city of Burien hasn't found anywhere for these people to go. The city of Burien has no shelter space for these campers because I think they have one shelter for women and kids. The city of Burien is moving forward to lease the property to an animal shelter.
Right.
So you're telling me that the city of Burien is prioritizing homeless dogs over homeless people?
Exactly.
Wow.
It's disgusting. It is a prime example of feckless leadership, and you should not be okay with that if you either live in King County or in the city of Burien.
I think before you move on, Ursula, I can feel the way this conversation and things are starting to shift. And what's starting to happen is the same, okay, we just got to get housing. We just got to get housing. Look, it's not working anymore. Again, some of the same folks that are very empathetic towards those that are unhoused are becoming mad, right? You ever just get to that point where you just try to, you know, okay, I'm going to be patient. People are losing their patience. And you know what? They're also losing money, too, because money, it costs money, $2,500 to live on that corner right there. You go to these different neighbors. And look, take it off the – and I've been lately with my mental health – I have been really trying to focus on real discussions that happen, not just on radio, not just on TV, but not on social media, but in real life. And in real life is this. Nobody wants to come home, look out of their window, and I don't care what the situation is. You don't want to see drug dealing out there. You don't want to see any sex going on right there. You don't want to see needle. You don't want to see that. Now, get away from the politics and keep it a buck in how you really want to go about life. And that's the truth. So we're getting impatient with all of these excuses.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm going to squeeze in one more here. In Bonnie Lake, if you park illegally at a particular park, this is Allen York Park, you're going to get hit with a really hefty fine. The city council there has passed an ordinance that increases the fee from $25 to $250. King 5 News caught up with this mom at the park.
I think that it is ridiculous. I think that we should be allowed to go to these parks free of charge. We pay enough in taxes already, and now they want to fine us for coming here and parking. I still come and enjoy the park, but, you know, a lot of people aren't going out here. They're going to different lakes.
So according to this ordinance, there aren't enough parking spots to meet the demand. Drivers have been parking along residential streets, sometimes blocking the driveways of homes. There have also been incidents of drivers parking in lanes of traffic. These new penalties will take effect as soon as the city installs signs to let the community know that the fee will be increasing. And we're talking $25 to $250.
It needs to increase. Now, let me say this first. I do think because what happens is, Ursula, when it's $25, when the ticket is $25 and you're getting ready to bring your family down and you can't find parking and you like, hey, Claude, it's only $25 ticket. Oh, that's the cost of doing business. We might not even get caught. Yeah. And if we do get caught, it's only $25.
Yeah.
Now you come down there, you're going to get that $250 if you get caught. And if you don't pay within 15 days, it's going to be $375. Now, go ahead and do that. But also, city planners, the planners of Bonnie Lake,
I don't want to steal your thunder, Chef, but Chef, you did a very good job. This is Chef stuff. He said earlier that in Edmonds, where he lives, there's 40-something parks, right? There's 40-something parks in there with a population of 40,000. In Bonnie Lake, there's 3 parks with a population of 50,000.
Oh, no, there's one more. There's a parklet, too. There's a parklet.
What's a parklet?
A little.
It's like a closet park. Oh. Like a walk-in closet
it's
size.
It's a little urban oasis in the middle of.
What you thinking, Ursula? What you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that it's a huge increase, and I'm also thinking, now, is there a way to remedy this by creating more parking in this? But I don't know. You know this area of Bonnie
Lake. Alan York.
I know that Bonnie Lake, a friend of mine used to live there, and she talks still to this day about how beautiful it is.
It is beautiful.
So I know it is a gorgeous location, but that's quite the jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's going to stop people, but it feels like there needs to be another remedy.
Yeah. I used to live a block away from Alan York. Uh-huh. And yeah, shout out to Bonnie Lake. I lived a block away. And when the kids were younger, we just walk over. Yeah. So we didn't have to worry about the parking.
Yeah.
Right. But the parking was an issue. And for the people that live down there, look, they might have friends that want to come over, maybe rent their pools.
Yesterday's fun conversation.
All right. I don't know if I'm ready for this conversation next. Actually, I am. The details coming out of the Washington Equity Director's firing. Ooh, boy. Wait till you hear about this. We do that next. Gina Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Please text us 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. You are a very important part of our show. And this morning, we are now learning a lot more about the troubled tenure of Washington's very first director of the State Office of Equity. Governor Inslee fired Karen A. Johnson about 2 weeks ago, but we didn't get much info at the time about why. Now, the Seattle Times reports an investigation into her conduct finds issues with potentially racially insensitive or biased behavior. So, for example, this report found that Johnson had told several employees not to wear makeup, specifically lipstick. Not sure what the reasoning was behind that, but she denies that. The report also finds that Johnson made comments about the way people looked in her office, specifically their hair and their weight, suggesting that one person, quote, needed to take care of herself. She also apparently referred to a veteran employee regularly as a military hire. And then there's this one. She said about an employee of Mexican descent, and it was in a group setting, quote, "This may take some time for me because I generally distrust Mexican people. Mexican people have the option of being white when it's convenient for them," unquote. One employee told investigators that Johnson began 2 staff welcome breakfasts by asking everyone to join hands and discuss things for which they were thankful, and then ended the discussion with a Christian prayer. So in a statement, she tells the Seattle Times that there are 2 things that sadden her about the investigation. First, she was never given the opportunity to seek reconciliation with the people who obviously feel harmed by her. And then second, she says her right to learn about and respond to those allegations was taken away without her consent. And she said, "To the people I harmed, please forgive me. To the people who violated my due process, I forgive you."
I believe absolutely all of this. I believe that I'm not even a part of the investigation, but I believe this story. Let me tell you why. One, you in your statement, Karen says 2 things sadden me, like you said, Ursula. The first was that I was never given the opportunity to seek reconciliation with the people who obviously feel I harmed them. Okay, that's the next part. And then this other part, and respond to those allegations that were taken. What do you want to say? You are in charge. You are the supervisor. In life, I say this all the time. People don't quit jobs. They quit people. That's one of the number one reasons why people leave jobs. And in this case, speaking of people leaving, they since she was hired, there were 17 people that was hired in this department. Two people resigned in 2022, 2 to 3 people resigned in 2023. People did not like the culture that you brought here. You are here. Are in charge of Washington. You're equity director, Washington equity director.
The first ever.
And you mean to tell me that you are having conversations, a group discussion in which you say, quote, this may take some time for me because I generally distrust Mexican people. Mexican people have the option of being white when it is convenient for them. One last point I want to make. The investigation, drum roll please, guess how much money they spent for this investigation? They spent $62,000 for this investigation. So what is that? That tells me, Ursula, that this wasn't just some, hey, so, no. A real investigation happened. There were 11 people that responded to this. There is clear and concrete evidence of this. And the last part, I'm willing to bet, I don't know this, but see, things don't just happen overnight. People are like this and they show their colors. I'm willing to bet that this has probably happened before somewhere else where you might have been working, where you were this in this situation. I don't know that. I don't even know this person. But I'm telling you right now, Ursula, I believe this story 100%.
Well, yeah, because it's not just one or two. It's a bunch of people who are making similar types of allegations. But I'm going to tell you what makes me especially sad and why I think this is so damaging.
What?
She was the first director of the State Office of Equity. Now, you hear people make basically mock anything having to do with DEI issues and whether they're even important or why are we doing this. And I think that she, in doing these things at the in her office, and now this coming out, this just pushes it back even further. It's just like another hit toward real impactful DEI initiatives, mm-hmm. because it gives fuel to this. See, you know, even the director of the State Office of Equity, she herself was racist. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's racist. And you look at this, and I think she's just made it that much harder for people who are doing good work.
I understand what you're saying, and I think that there are people that will look at it that way. But I think that the overall sentiment should be this: this was just a bad hire, and this was somebody that was not good at their job. This person has been removed, and now we're going to look for someone else, because the work that DEI does for companies and organizations should be a good thing. And sometimes when it's not, it does give naysayers, like you're saying, the opportunity to say, oh, see, look what happens. No. Don't judge the work that needs to be done based on one person. Yeah. Unfortunately, in jobs across the United States, and your job, listen, there's somebody listening right now that wants to quit their job, not because of the job, but because of their supervisor, or maybe just somebody that just can't stand, Ursula.
But someone in this high profile of a position, at this highest level, could do these things that are so obviously racist, insensitive, biased. I mean, that I think that's harmful, and I hope it doesn't set back some of those other initiatives like I'm talking about.
I got a secret to tell. Don't tell nobody I said it.
Okay.
You know, black people can say some racist stuff too. You know, I'm not laughing, but I'm just saying it can happen. And black,
everybody
can say some racist things.
Yes.
And everybody can be fired for saying some racist things.
Yes.
That's all we do, all that dinner.
Yes.
Kumbaya, everybody.
Yes.
Now,
and you should be held accountable. But just like we say with other professions, just because one bad apple doesn't mean they're all bad apples.
No doubt about it. By the way, Ursula, what if we What if you and I became like DEI directors here at Cairo? You think we can do it?
No.
We wouldn't make it. Nick, you think we can do it?
I think it's a coin toss, 50-50.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, dining etiquette. Dining etiquette question. Should you help pay for dinner at someone's house that you were invited to? We talk about that next. G and Ursula. Well, it is the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, y'all. Good morning to you. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. We're having a good time. But right now, we need to talk. Ursula, we need to talk because it's getting real out here. I'm talking about real. So check this out. When you go to someone's house for dinner, who's responsible for the cost of the meal? So somebody invites you to their house. Who is responsible for the cost of the meal?
The host.
Oh, okay. The Today Show posted a story about a man who cooked a gourmet spread for his friends, including smoked Gouda, mashed potatoes. Ooh, that sounds good.
Sounds really good.
Chef, you got to make that. Smoked Gouda, mashed potatoes, beef short ribs.
Oh, yum.
Ooh, at the end of the meal. And then, Ursula, he asked everyone to pull out your phones, get on Venmo, and send him $40 for the cost of ingredients. Question, is this ever acceptable? And we want to hear from you, text line, too. Ursula, what you got?
Okay. The only way I would think that this is acceptable is if the group said, hey, why don't we have a get-together at your house? Amongst the three of us, it would be Chef who would be cooking.
Oh,
and
okay.
And if we said,
for sure.
Oh, well, and you too.
No.
Okay, I'm going to put myself last.
Okay. It's Chef.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. And if you say, hey, you know, let's do this and we'll have this, and this, and the stuff is expensive, then you would say, and we will all chip in.
Sure.
Then I could see, sure, even though let's say it's at Chef's house and we're all going there and he's hosting, but to offset the costs, yeah, I can see where that would be okay.
Right.
But otherwise, it's just tacky as heck.
Yeah, it's tacky. That's
really tacky.
If someone invites you, so let's say Chef, which will never happen, let's say Chef invites me to his house, right? I'd hit Chef up and be like, hey, what can I bring?
That's perfectly acceptable,
right?
Too.
Then if Chef says, oh, nothing, we got it. That's usually the time where Ursula and I, you know how we are.
Yeah.
We're still going to bring maybe a bottle of wine,
yes,
or we're going to bring something to contribute,
yes,
right? Outside of that question of, hey, once the attendees say, what can we bring? And you say, oh, no big deal. Come on and just come. Or you could have said during that time, shoot me $40 on Venmo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't do it
though
when
it at
everyone
dinner.
Is
yeah.
there and already a, you're,
sure.
you've got a captive audience. Captive as in.
As in, you're all in the house.
Yeah, I think that would be just rude. But have you ever been in a situation where you are at dinner and then everyone's scuffling around as to who is going to pay or are you going to split the bill? Does that ever get uncomfortable in your group of friends?
No. Not now.
Yeah.
Back in the day when it was a bunch of us that didn't have no money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it got uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not today. Today it's all good. We just throw the cards down.
Yeah. Well, and see, I love that when you're out and you just make it real clear, hey, you know, we're going to do this. Or if I'm feeling especially generous, I'll just flat out say, hey, I'll pay for this. This will be mine. Or, you know, so there's not that scuffling around.
Yeah. And I don't trip. Let's say I don't drink during that dinner.
I don't.
Let's say I don't drink in that dinner, but Chef, we're out to dinner with you and your wife, and you and your wife drink a bottle of wine. I ain't tripping. We still splitting it.
Yeah, if it's a $300 bottle of wine, you still splitting?
No, you're not.
I mean, I think there's a little bit that changes depending on your economic situation. So when you're young, right? When you're in college, you have friends over. It's pretty common. Hey, we'll split the cost of, you know, making a spaghetti dinner or something like that. And the only other situation where I think this kind of makes sense is maybe to ask not everyone, but the one friend. The one friend that always goes to everyone's house and it's a potluck, right? And somebody made ribs, like somebody else did wings, right? You come over for Thanksgiving, there's a whole big prime rib, and every time they come over, they got a bag of chips.
Okay, if you're that person who only brings a bag of chips or
it's,
that quick
it's the single friend. It's the single guy friend.
My homeboy Mike Bible. If you guys know Mike Bible, that's my boy.
Yeah.
Love him to death. He's probably not listening right now. Mike Bible absolutely brings nothing.
Are you serious?
Every time, I call him by name.
Oh my gosh! And he's unapologetic.
Unapologetic.
No.
As a matter of fact, he's gonna hear about me talking about him on the radio right now, and he gonna hit me up and laugh like, "Ha ha ha! You was telling everybody again." And we'll come back to my house with nothing. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker about my boy Mike. My boy gonna leave with a plate.
No way.
Every
time. So then he's the first one who's like scooping up, going, "Okay, I want leftovers. Do you have any?"
And he gets
Tupperware for me.
And he gets their last.
He doesn't return your Tupperware.
Oh yeah.
Does he take half of his bottle of wine back home too?
He doesn't bring anything.
Oh,
that's the thing.
Oh, nothing.
And every time, if it starts at 5, he gets there around 6:45. So he gets there late, and he's one of the first to leave with a plate.
Okay, but you still keep inviting him.
Because that's my partner.
It's because he's such a gift. He needs to come with nothing involved.
That's my partner.
I want to just say, shout out to my girlfriends. We do a fairly regular night out for dinner.
Yeah.
And they know because I don't drink. They're always like, no, we're going to, you know, split it and put the drinks on us so that they insist that I not pay for their drinks, which I would be happy to do. But they're very mindful.
Ursula, what would it take for you to have a shot of tequila?
Oh, I've done it.
You have?
I had a real close relationship with a toilet bowl one time in college.
Oh. I was going to ask how many decades it was.
Yeah, that was. And my brother, may he rest in peace, told me, "Ursula, you know that tequila will kill you."
All right.
That much anyway.
So are you saying that if I brought over a bottle of Casa Azul's to your house for a housewarming,
you have one shot? Come. Yes, I will.
Oh, yeah! All right, boy, tell you what, Ursula ain't the same as she used to be when we started this show. Hey, coming up next on the Gene Ursula Show, a new study investigates why some parts of Seattle have high asthma rates. We discuss that and more. It's Gene Ursula.